Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Yeah, yeah. How many of you glad to be free tonight?
God, come on, let's give God some praise this evening, amen. Just thanking God for keeping us even right now in this hour. Thanking God for this opportunity once again that we can come and receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thanking God for his mercy and his grace, amen. Thanking God for his only begotten son, Jesus, that he sent to save us, amen. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Wednesday night Bible study. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here and to be in the place to receive on tonight. You know, just thanking God for divine position and amen in order for our lives so that we may be in position, that we may be received. So I pray that all be able to receive on tonight, that it be a great pouring in of God's word, that it will take root in us, amen, that freely as we receive on tonight, freely we will give to others and tell all the good news of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. We're still in our lesson of study about grace, you know, more grace and what grace looks like. Amen. Operating with that reckless grace, meaning, hey, we're going to give it to you, the left, the right, overflowing with grace. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So let us pray as we enter in. Father God, we just want to say thank you. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We exalt your name above all names, for there's no one greater than you. And Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing and all that you're about to do, even in this Bible study here on today. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we ask you to move mighty, amen. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah to your name, God. And Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Let us receive divine revelation and knowledge and wisdom and understanding of your word on tonight, that we may be able to apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. Heavenly Father, let your word be engrafted on our hearts and on our minds, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, We come against every hindering spirit on the line, every unteachable spirit, every spirit of unbelief, every fighting spirit, familiar spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit, every spirit of accuser of the brethren, every spirit of destruction, every spirit of doubt, every spirit of frustration, every spirit of rejection. We come against every spirit of destruction, procrastination, limitation, stagnation, every spirit of sickness and ache, pain, discomfort, infirmity, affliction, viruses, oppression, depression, worry, fear, guilt, shame, and condemnation, anger, rage, and wrath, bitterness, and resentment, jealousy, hypocrisy, amen, spirit of mammon, spirit of greed, amen, hallelujah, spirit of addiction. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare this deliverance on this line, and we shall receive, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare with all faith in the name of Jesus Christ and the power and the blood of Jesus Christ that we will not be denied, we will not take any counterfeit, we will receive all that belongs to us, all that our Father has portioned for us. We receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. We silence the mouth of the evil speaker. We blind his eyes. We deafen their ears right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you and we love you. Father God, we ask that unity come where division has taken place, where the enemy has caused division and separation, oh God. Oh Lord, let unity come right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. As we enter in, oh God, we give it all over to you right now. We just want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise right now, right where you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It is a blessing and an honor to be here tonight, church. And if you called in or you're listening online, welcome, welcome, welcome. We definitely want to hear from you. Don't be shy. If you have any questions or comments regarding the lesson on tonight, please press 1 or call in to 845-277-9213. If you have any questions or comments, you know, please do so at that time. There will be a time for discussion that will open up here during Bible study that you can ask any questions to get a little more clarity. So we're still studying on grace. We're still operating in grace, amen, because we're on the new covenant of grace. A common phrase you hear in church before an offering goes something like this in the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give and it will be given to you. Amen. Give it and it should be given to you. Ready for the shocking revelation, church? This passage has nothing to do with money and everything to do with grace. I mean, so I'm going to read the scripture for you in Luke chapter, let's do 37 and 38, actually. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. Amen. And I'm coming at the New King James Version here. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 37 through 38, it says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Verse 38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So when we look at these scriptures here, I know we've heard it in church, in the closing at the receiving, the tithes, and the offering. Amen. Hallelujah. But just really getting a breakdown of the scripture here and how it relates to grace. See, a forgiving spirit demonstrates a person has received God's forgiveness. Jesus used the picture of measuring grain in a basket to ensure the full amount. So if we are critical rather than compassionate, we will also receive criticism. If we treat others generously, graciously, and compassionately, however, these qualities will come back to us in full measure. We are to love others and not judge them. Amen. So looking at this, hallelujah, looking at this passage and understanding now that it has nothing to do with money and everything to do with grace. Hallelujah. I'm a giver. I believe in generosity and the generosity in our giving. But this is yet another instance where context is so very important. See, if Jesus was serious when he imparted grace, according to John 20:23, which we have read during this lesson, what does that mean for our lives? We would have to take inventory of how much grace we're releasing. We would have to take an honest look at how much grace we're receiving. We would have to take responsibility for a world that doesn't know grace is in reach. Amen. So when we look at it this way and have a true understanding on how grace works, amen, amen, and that it is ready and available to all that are in Christ, all that believe, amen, receive the spirit of grace, receive and operate in the new covenant of grace. So if Jesus wasn't serious, we can assume it's not within our power to forgive sin. So, and that's true. So is the following. I want to give you this word here. Jesus may forgive you, but I don't have to. If you're not careful, you can justify offense and unforgiveness in your own heart by leaving grace up to God. But the challenge of John chapter 20, verse 23 is that Jesus is calling all believers, and I say that again, he's calling all believers to put on display the amount of grace we believe God has given, not just to the world, but also to ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and we know this very well in the Lord's prayer. We prayed it over and over. It says, forgive our debtors as we also have forgiven our debtors. See, in case you're confused, let's break that down just for a moment here. Let's break it down for a moment here. If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive you. If you do forgive, your Father will forgive you. It sounds like a threat, but it's actually an incredibly powerful tool in unleashing the power of God's grace gift in your life. So the best part is you don't have to figure it out. Like any other sign or wonder, grace isn't something for you to boast in or try to own in your flesh. See, God is the one who heals, the one who restores, the one who forgives. He just chooses to invite us into what he's up to by giving us power and authority as his children. Amen. He invites us to personally usher in the kingdom of God through his manifest grace. Amen. Not because our salvation is dependent upon it, but because we're his children. Amen. If you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been adopted into God's family. It's unlike any other earthly adoption you've ever heard of. Kingdom adoption is an awakening to who you really are in Christ, a beloved son or daughter of the King by new birthrights. Amen. And out of that new identity in Christ, we learn to be more like Abba Father. We're more like our Father, to look like him, act like him, and extend grace and forgiveness like him. God loves you so much. He wants you to have an opportunity to get in on the goodness of his radical grace. It's just what you do as a part of his family. Amen. See, God's grace sounds reckless by the world's standards, and it is. It is. But it's no more than what you've already received. See, God wants you focused on him in the learning process and not on your own willingness to forgive or lack thereof. See, as always, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. And from the place of humility, of coming into agreement with God, you begin to scratch the surface of what radical grace unleashed really looks like. You know, we look at grace reflection. And we don't think, well, come on, we'll ask these questions as we reflect on grace here and grace reflections. Do you struggle to extend grace to others? If so, why or why not? Do you struggle to receive grace from others? And if so, why and why not? Amen. After reading John chapter 20, verse 23, and I want you tonight, just take a moment right now and read that chapter for yourself, that chapter and that verse. John, and I'm going to let you read it to yourself, and I'm going to give you a few minutes. I'll give you all about 30 seconds, I'm sorry, to get to the actual scripture. And then I want you to read that to yourself. Again, that's going to be John, that's St. John. That's going to be chapter 20. In verse 23, okay, so I'm gonna count to 30 here to myself and give you a chance to find it, and then give you a little moment to read that in chapter, John chapter 20, verse 23. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm giving you all opportunity to get there and then to read that verse to yourself. John chapter 20, verse 23. Amen. Okay. So we all should have read that scripture in John chapter 20, verse 23. Amen. So do you believe Jesus was serious about extending grace? If not, why not? If so, what do his words mean for your life right now? You know, when we look at you in John chapter 20, verse 23, Jesus was giving the disciples their spirits, giving the disciples their spirit power and spirit guided mission to preach the good news about Jesus so people's sin might be forgiven. The disciples did not have the power to forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. But Jesus gave them the privilege of telling new believers that their sins have been forgiven because they have accepted Jesus' message. Amen. So all believers have the same privilege. We can announce the forgiveness of sin with certainty when we ourselves find repentance and faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's so important that we, as believers, as children of God, new creations in Christ Jesus, release the grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Release the grace. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to, for a moment, I want to talk about the grace message here. The grace message. First, think about it. It's grace refined, grace released, grace received, and grace of God. Amen. The reason it's so hard for people to release God's grace is because they haven't fully received it yet. Amen. And the reason they haven't fully received it is because they don't know they already have it. Amen. See, understanding that when I pray and understanding that we receive new mercies and new graces in the Bible, we receive new mercies and new grace. He daily loads us with benefits of new mercies and new grace. Amen. And understanding that you need to receive God's grace before releasing it will change everything for you as you dive deeper into the grace learning process. You learn in, hallelujah, in God's word. Amen. You're learning God's word. It's already been given to you as a gift. You know, the gift of grace. It's yours, but do you believe it yet? Amen. And hopefully during this lesson study, you know, as we'll cover the importance of really receiving the grace gift that you've already been given. But hallelujah. Not by trying harder to earn or striving to release it in your own strength, but by learning to rest in the loving arms of your gracious Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of times we have a hard time believing and receiving what's already ready available for us because it seems too good to be true. I got to do more. I got to be doing something. I got to go this extra mile. I got to go do this. I got to, because it's already ready and available for you. And because I freely given it to you, freely give it to others when they're not deserving. Amen. Jesus was completely serious when he released the gift of grace to his disciples in John 20, verse 23. But he intends for us to extend grace to others as an overflow of the grace we have received from him. Amen. And you know, remind ourselves of that. Amen. I know sometimes, you know, things happen, even on a job or in a home, in our marriages and relationships and just, you know, just being out and about. But you know what? Releasing that grace to others. Amen. The kind of reckless grace we're called to release as believers only works in the overflow, as a fresh outpouring of the grace we are willing to receive. I want us to explore the power of grace at our fingertips. Amen. Ripe and ready for harvest. See, God's grace isn't something you can manifest out of just your own strength. I want us to understand that. Not out of your own strength. So please don't try it. As with all spiritual gifts, you can't earn God's grace. You don't deserve it. It makes no logical earthly sense. And because we struggle to understand God's grace, we build up barriers to receiving it. See, our obedience in releasing grace becomes contingent upon our full understanding of God's grace, leaving us stuck in a cycle of sin, guilt, shame, and unforgiveness. So from that broken place, we keep ourselves at arms length or longer from a God who desperately wants to lavish his grace upon us and others. See, it doesn't have to be this way. I want us to understand in church, it doesn't have to be this way. I want us to go back to the basics for a moment. Amen. In John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life or eternal life." So, see, these are some of the most potent, transformative, highly quoted words in Scripture, and it's easy to see why. They are living proof of a God's intention when he gave us the gift of grace through our salvation. Amen. So God gave everything to have us with him for all eternity. He gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, as a perfect sacrifice while we were still sinners. So why would God do this, knowing full well that many would reject his gift? What motivation did he have for this move of reckless grace? The answer is love, church. It's love. Amen. The one thing we were commanded to do, Jesus said that we love one another. You can have all these things, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. The Bible says faith, hope, and love remains, but the greater of the two, the greater of the three is love. The greater of the three is love. So this is why God always starts with love. The first words in verse 16, hallelujah, in John 3:16. "For God so loved," are stacked with precision by John in hopes that we would get a clear picture of how God initiates grace. God loved us first, which is why he sent Jesus to the depths of hell and back again to defeat sin and death and give us eternal life. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, and we just thank God that we're able to receive, amen, we're able to receive the grace that God gives us and that we are fully operating in the grace of God, that we're under the new covenant of grace, amen. We're under the new covenant of grace, and that salvation would be enough on its own. I want to say, but there's more. Of course there is. This is God we're talking about. Look at the next two verses. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen. This is John 3:17-18, and we see this here in the Bible. Did you catch that? If you believe in Jesus, you're not judged. You're free. If you don't believe in Jesus, you're still not judged. Why? Because you're already guilty, dead in your sin. And by not believing in the name of Jesus, you're just choosing to stay guilty. He wants to bring you from death to life, life eternal, and you're saying no thanks to the greatest gift anyone would ever offer you. That's not what you want, is it? I mean, that's not what you want, right? That's not what you want. See, receiving God's grace is a fourfold agreement. Receiving what Jesus has done for you. Receiving what Jesus has done to you. Receiving what Jesus has done in you. Receiving what Jesus will do as you. Amen? What he did for you is covered in John 3:16. Jesus saved you. He rescued you from sin and death. He erased your sin. He initiated grace and forgave you. Hallelujah. And that would have been enough. But there's more. What he did to you is covered in verse 17 through 18. Jesus restored you. He made you innocent and blameless in God's sight. Your identity, amen, your identity now is and will forever be beloved child of God. He reconciled you to himself, making you the home for for his presence and the manifest expression of his love, mercy, and grace to the world. Oh, but there's more. What he has done to you has the power to transform your mind, your heart, your body, your spirit, and your will. This is the power of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And with the power of Christ in you, he is able to move as you. He will move through you as a earthen vessel to release his reckless grace. Do you see the magnitude of this four-part agreement? Jesus Christ doesn't just offer you salvation. He invites you to come home into the throne room as a co-heir with Christ, amen, or redeemer, to receive the grace. Respond with a emphatic yes and choose to believe in the wonderful, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus. It may take some time for your head to catch up with your heart in this true, hallelujah, in this true belief, but there's grace to cover you in the waiting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. At this time, we're going to have any, if there's any questions, we open up the floor for conversations at this time. For any questions or comments, you would just press 1. For any questions or comments at this time, we definitely want to hear from all that's on the line and all that's listening on tonight. Amen. If that is you, please press 1. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We'll give you all a moment here to press 1. Amen. We definitely want to hear from you. Amen. What your comments are, you know, if you have any comments at this time, please, you know, press 1. We definitely want to hear from you. Amen. Hallelujah. This is the opportunity. We're not able to do that on Sundays, but we're able to do that on tonight so that we can have a greater understanding and receive, amen, in the name of Jesus. So if that is you tonight, please press 1. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, let us continue on. Amen. And let's pray we all have a great understanding. Let's talk about who condemns us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the book of John 1:1, we see that. John gets straight to the point. He gets straight to the point, doesn't he? In the account of Jesus' life as written by the Apostle John, or that disciple whom Jesus loved, as he liked to call himself, all Jesus has to do is say the word, and it is done. Healing, forgiveness, grace, love, mercy, freedom, restoration, resurrection. The list goes on as effortlessly as God's creation into existence. So does Jesus speak into being the fullness of God's grace to mankind. In John's gospel, Jesus simultaneously erases the history of the fall and invites us to reclaim our original identity as God's image bearers, beloved sons and daughters of the King of Heaven, all by the power of his spoken word. In his writing, John is determined to shift our minds away from the pain of the fall and toward the righteousness we have as believers in Christ Jesus. His narrative positioning proves that he wants you to know how God truly loves you and how much grace he has really given to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He shows, in a few chapters in, he shows Jesus beginning to unpack the raw truth about condemnation. And in true Jesus form, it's not what anyone is expecting to hear. Not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, according to John 5:22. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus is essentially saying, God's not judging you. He delegated that to me. But when Jesus elaborates on the topic of judgment in John 12, it starts to get wild. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Amen. In verse 47, so this is a radical assertion of grace. Jesus is basically saying, hey, even if you don't do what I say, even if you don't believe what I say, I'm still not judging you. Why? Because that's not why I'm here. I came to save you. Okay, back up. The Father isn't judging you, according to John 5:22. Jesus isn't judging you, according to John 12:47. Wait a minute, who is judging? Jesus challenges our assumption about the judgment. Amen. About the judgment against us back in John 5:45. Creating an awareness of our own self-inflicted condemnation. Do not think that I will accuse you, the Bible says. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. He doesn't say these words to dishonor Moses by labeling him as an accuser. Instead, he uses it as an opportunity to invite us to shift our eyes from the old covenant one of condemnation to a new covenant in him, one in grace. So the Father isn't judging you. Jesus isn't judging you. Moses and the law can't judge you. You don't even get to judge yourself, according to verse 45. Again, who is judging you? In verse 48, Jesus finally gives us the answer. He who rejects me and does not receive my sin has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. John chapter 12, verse 48. As we wonder why, as we wonder who is judging us, we're asking the wrong question. It's not someone who will judge us. It's something. It's the word Jesus spoke. Disobedience to the word of God is what will be held accountable for. Hallelujah. That's what it will be. Our obedience and our disobedience to the word of God is what we will be held accountable for on the last day. Why is this a differentiation here? Why is this differentiation important here? Because it allows you to see Jesus Christ for who he really is and yourself for who you really are in him. Jesus didn't come into the world to whip you into shape and impose salvation on you. He didn't come with a list of demands or an easy five-step plan for you to earn your righteousness before God. He came to invite you into a personal relationship with him, with himself. One that would change you forever. Jesus Christ came to restore the original identity you were given at creation so that you can choose obedience to the word he speaks, not out of fear or obligation, but as a joyful response to the grace he extends. Jesus paid it all so you could be reconciled to the Father and brought into the throne room of grace as the royalty that you are. And you might have guessed it, there's still more. Amen. The Bible says in John 12:49, for I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. If we're honest, we know we deserve judgment. For all have sinned, the Bible says, and fall short of glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:23-24. Humanity was condemned at the fall, and now we're born with a bent toward sin. Before we receive Christ, we're already judged guilty by the law. Sadly, spiritual leaders leverage this old sin and shame to guilt you into a work-based theology, probably best because they too have yet to receive God's gift of grace in full. But I won't spend any more time trying to convince you of your sin. I'm much more interested in convincing you of your righteousness in Jesus Christ. The Father and the Son both have the authority to condemn you, but guess what? They choose not to. God the Father is not judging us, and Jesus isn't judging us either. Instead, we will be held to account on the last day, not by Jesus himself, but by the truth of the word he spoke. And our willingness to be obedient to it. Is your brain scrambled yet? Let's take it one level deeper. This poll will wreck you in the best kind of way. Amen. In the best kind of way. Amen. And we're going to wrap up here tonight with any questions or comments. Jesus only says and does what his Father commands. In other words, the word he spoke is God's commandment, the same word that will one day judge us. What is God's commandment? What's the word he spoke? The same word that will one day judge us. I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. Amen. Eternal life. All right. I kid you not. It's right there in John's gospel in chapter 12, verse 50. His commandment is our commission to know the Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he sent in John 17:3, eternal life has already been given to us. We just have to say yes. You can't make this stuff up. God is so, so good. He's even better than you think he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to wrap up here on tonight. Again, if you have any questions or comments, now is the time. Press 1. Amen. Press 1. If you can, press 1 at this time. We want to hear from you tonight. Amen. If you have any questions or comments. Amen. All right. So I just want to see if anybody has any questions or comments. And it's just when we truly understand the love of God and the grace of God that he gives us and understand how we operate, we will no longer operate with guilt, shame, and condemnation. We will no longer operate with hate and anger. You know, we'll be quick to get back in that place of releasing God's grace, the grace that he's given us. So we have it already in us to release the gift to others. So why are we not releasing that God has given to us freely? Amen. Because you got to understand that you yourself have already received the gift of grace. Amen. And so you do have it to give. A lot of times people, it's like somebody coming in saying, hey, you got something. Okay, during the pandemic, they had people that were buying up all the water and sanitizer. And then someone comes to you and they ask you, and you saying, I don't have nothing to give. But you have all this and then some. So it's like that God is freely giving you all this grace, but you're trying to keep it to yourself. Why is that? And the reason that we have the grace and receive the gift of grace, that we may be able to release that and give it to others. Good measure, pressed down, run it over. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Before we wrap up here, I want to talk about forgiving yourself. As we get ready to wrap up here, and I just pray that you're all able to receive something from the Bible study on tonight. If you know, if this is your first time here, we are not on here all night or hours on, because I realize some of us can take in a whole lot, but this is a lifestyle, you know, a lifestyle of living and applying God's word to our life and letting it take root and manifest. So we give a little bit at a time, you know, a little bit here, and then you come back, we give you a little bit more so you can take that and let that take root in you and come back for more, and you can take that, amen, and let that take root in you, amen. And so we give a little by little, and then we want to hear from you. We want to open up the line so that you can ask any questions that you may have about the lesson on tonight, so you can have a greater understanding for yourself so that you can receive it fully, not partially, but fully, that you can give to others fully and not partially. Amen. So you can speak with, you know, you can stand in soundness with a great understanding, you know, when you give somebody else that word, you know, and you can be sure that you're giving them the right, you know, the right meaning to it and what God has revealed to you. And I always pray for God to give you a revelation, you know, so you can have a greater understanding for yourself. But I want to say, before we wrap up here, let's talk about forgiving yourself. The most common barrier to receiving God's gift of grace is you. You may think you believe God gives you grace, mercy, and forgiveness. You may respond with an attentive yes to Jesus and profess to believe in his name. You may even be willing to make the case intellectually for grace to manifest in your own life, but somewhere deep down, you still wonder, am I really forgiven? Whether this is a question you pondered about yourself or heard from another person, the truth about grace received will give you the freedom you need to release it. Amen? Let me tell you. If we only knew, amen, if we only knew and understand how it is already ready and available for us, if we truly can believe that, it's all about your belief. Amen. Hallelujah. It's all about your belief. And I just want us to understand, you know, once you believe it, you can truly receive it for yourself, and you can truly freely give it to others once you can believe it. I can't believe for you, mama, daddy. Nobody can believe for you. Your spiritual mama, dad cannot believe for you. You got to believe it for yourself so that you can receive it for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we just, you know, we thank God tonight. I'm telling you, I'm just so excited, you all. I'm excited about the things of God. And understand that forgiving yourself is one of the hardest things you'll ever do. Maybe you picked up, you know, some information here and some learning here, even in the Bible studies to help you forgive others. You know, we'll talk more about that, you all, and just understanding that, you know, that we are forgiven. Amen. But will you forgive? Will you forgive yourself? Will you receive forgiveness for yourself? Will you release that you've just been beating yourself up about and, you know, condemning yourself and feeling guilty about something that you did or said or was? And I say was because you were that. That's past. You know, you're a new creation in Christ. Amen. I don't care how many times you fell down, but you got back up again, believing and trusting God, allowing God to be your strength. I want you tonight just to receive it all, not just some of what God has for you. Receive it all that God has for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Friend, whether you've sinned against God or sinned against a brother or sister or even sinned against yourself, there is no sin so great that God won't forgive it. Amen. And if there is no sin, God won't forgive. There is no sin for you to hold against yourself. I'm telling you, so many people like that, they beat themselves down left and right for years for something God has already forgiven us for. And you're steady beating yourself down. See, this is where Satan's voice can really get loud. The enemy of your soul wants you to believe that forgiving yourself is more shameful than carrying the burden as penance. I want you to understand that he lies. This demonic line of thinking holds you in bondage, ashamed of your shame. What's worse, it keeps you separated from God. If you hear this in your mind or from another person, dismiss it immediately. You rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. When you choose not to forgive yourself, you're choosing not to come into agreement with God. And refusing to forgive yourself, you're refusing God's grace as well. Telling yourself you're not forgiven is calling God a liar. You may think it's humble to punish and withhold grace from yourself. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. It's actually coming from a secret place of pride. It suggests that you think you know better than God and that his ways are not best. Amen. God wants you to walk in the light of the freedom that he has given you. He has given us. Forgiving yourself is part of coming into agreement with what God says about you. Amen. He says, you're forgiven, absolutely free from sin, guilt, and shame. Who are you to say otherwise? The world may judge you for what you've done, but you need to know that you know the truth, that you are forgiven. Your Father in heaven calls you beloved child. Nothing can separate you from his love. According to Romans 8:38-39, and he loves you so much, he gave everything to have you back again. God's opinion of you is the only one that matters in the end. God's word says your sin and debt are defeated. God's word says your sin and debt are defeated. I'll say it again. God's word says your sin and debt are defeated. They hold no power over you. You're in Christ and he is in you. Jesus' final words on the cross says, it's sure enough. It is finished. John 19:30. It is finished. Church, to access the reckless grace of Christ, you must believe it, receive it, release it, repeat it. Amen. Hallelujah. As a finish begins, you all, we overcomplicate the process, striving to release God, striving to release grace before we've really received it. Striving again on the repeat. We'll dig deeper into the process later. Amen. Hallelujah. What you need to know now is, however, that you have the grace of God upon your life, even right now. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank God for the fullness of his grace. Amen. And we just, you know, in coming to realize the truth of it, and you can't give away what you don't really believe you have. Amen. So we just thank God on tonight. I want us to reflect on grace, and is the grace reflection right now tonight. Hallelujah. One is there anything you struggle to forgive yourself for? Two, do you really believe God has forgiven all your sins? Why or why not? And last, three, will you receive the gift of grace that God has already given you through the finished work of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close our Bible study on tonight again. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1 at this time. The line is open to receive any questions or comments. So please do press 1 at this time if you have any questions or comments. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen. We just thank God on tonight. I'm just so excited about God's grace and mercy. I tell you, every morning when I get up, I just thank God for his new mercy and new grace on that God has kept me, and it's nothing that I did to deserve all that Jesus has done. And just thanking Jesus and my Lord and Savior for his finished work, that he didn't leave here with nothing undone, amen. Even when they tried to capture him, amen, they could not because it was not time. Amen. It was not time. He told me, said, when I sit amongst you preaching and when I sit around you teaching, you could not catch me then. But now that it's time, he said, you go. I'm telling you, he finished it all. Amen. He did not leave here prematurely. Amen. It was finished. Hallelujah. And we just thank God on tonight. I pray that all was able to receive on tonight in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just want to say thank you, Father God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done on this night, oh God, as we receive, oh God, your grace, oh God, knowing that you have given us this gift, oh God. And Lord, we receive it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we will not deny the truth, amen, which is your son Jesus, the word, amen, that you sent that is established in heaven. And Lord Jesus, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for your finished work. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done, you're doing, that you're about to do. We thank you that you sit on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, that all is forgiven, that all is done. And, Lord, we just ask for your help, oh God, your continued help, oh God, in our lives and those in our family, Father. And we just want to say thank you. Lord, we ask, oh God, let your peace reign in us and over every area of our lives, Father God. Help us to keep our minds stayed on you, oh Lord, in every situation, oh God. And we just want to say thank you. We lift you up with all praise, glory, and honor. And we thank you for it, Lord. And as we leave this line, but never your presence, we thank you, oh God, that you're with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We bless your holy name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. You all have a blessed night in the Lord. Again, we're back here next Wednesday as we're still covering the lesson of grace, amen, that we're living under the new covenant of grace. So we're back here on next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're here on Sunday morning, Sunday services at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Amen. So God bless you. You all enjoy the rest of your night in the Lord. And I can't wait to see you all in Sunday service on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. You have a blessed night. Remember, the devil is already defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah.
One time.
I can't wait till I see you.
One time.
One, 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 one.
just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when I get, but if you ask him, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace, sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days learned. Tell him how to leave, stop breathing, yeah.
Sing and shout, then I